Will you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that as we look at it some more, that you would be speaking to us through it. Illuminate your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Cause it to not just be ink on paper, but to be your breath in us. And use it, Lord, to create. As you spoke those first words of creation, speak now words of creation into us, that we might be changed by you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I invite you to look with me at Psalm 119. We've been on a journey this summer through the Psalms, and in many people's source of keeping track of time, this is really the last Sunday of summer. I know astronomically summer ends mid-September, but for those of us, especially in the north, summer is pretty well wrapping up now. We turn the calendar to September, and it's school season and fall season, and things are different. So we've been journeying through the Psalms this summer, and it's been so fun to hear the Psalms spoken back by many of you as you've spent time in them. I'm encouraging you not to end your time in the Psalms. In fact, many people have a habit of reading some part of the Psalms each day. That'd be a wonderful habit to build into your lives, to have a little bit of the Psalms each day or on a regular basis. And the reason we value the Psalms so much is that they, first of all, are God's Word, and God uses His Word to speak truth into our lives so that our thinking becomes more in line with His thinking. But also God uses the Psalms to speak to our feelings and to change our feelings into being in alignment with His feelings and His heart. So we value the Psalms for the work of speaking to our minds and God's truth and to our hearts and God's feeling. But I want to bring our sermon series on Psalms to a conclusion by looking at Psalm 119. And, you know, it's lots of material here. If you know your Bible, you know this is the longest chapter in the Bible, so this one could be a good one, life and long. And we're going to read every single verse and preach a Todd Stromstedt-style sermon on it. The psalm is 22 stanzas. Each stanza is based on a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's an acrostic type of poetry. The first stanza, every sentence in it, every verse in it, starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. It's hard to see that in our English translation, but that's the way it reads. You turn to the second paragraph, and every verse in that second paragraph starts with the Hebrew letter Bet, and on through it. And it's a discipline that the author used, David used to help us think about God, help himself think about God, and by it being recorded for us, help us think about God. And it might be a discipline you might use. You might say, God, help me think of something about you for each letter of the English alphabet. I was at a family reunion this summer and found out that my cousin has become a Christ follower, and she was talking about how she went for a jog and she used the alphabet to help her pray and celebrate and worship some aspect of God. And she was going through the alphabet, and she got all the way to you, and she said, I had to run a long ways with you before I finally came up with the word that God's my umbrella. He is. So using different devices to help us think about God, worship God, celebrate God is a useful thing. Here in this psalm, we have an acrostic style of device, each letter of the Hebrew alphabet used to think about God. Because it's written that way, it doesn't really flow in a narrative sense. It's a repetitive psalm. It's a circular reasoning type of psalm. It comes back to certain points over and over and over again. But the main theme of it is the Word of God, His value for the Word of God, His habits concerning the Word of God, the benefit the Word of God has had in His life. And that's what I'd like you to think about with me this morning as we look at some of the verses in it. How has the Word of God benefited him? How might the Word of God benefit you? Let's use the phrase, the Word of God changes me. The Word of God changes me. I'd like that to become part of your thinking. The Word of God changes me. And if that's true, then we would want to be people who are receiving the Word of God on a regular basis, who are consuming the Word of God on a regular basis. The Word of God changes me as I eat it, as I as I read it, as I think about it, as I meditate on it, as I write it out, as I do things interacting with God's Word, I'm changed by that. Now, when we say that, we're not saying that the Word of God, those words on a page, are magic. We're saying that they are the Word of God Almighty. It's God's Word. And there was a time when I knew some people who seemed to be Bible worshipers and not God worshipers. And that's the danger. As people grow in their understanding of the text of the Bible, they might value it above the author of it. So we want to be careful there. As we talk about this psalm, and talk about any of the Word of God, we're pointing to the Word of God, His Word. And it's recorded for us so we can consume it on a regular basis. I know that as I spent time in this psalm this week and in preparation for this message, there's a little bit of a sense of guilt. And I don't want you to have a sense of guilt that comes from that. A little Holy Spirit conviction might be okay. A little Holy Spirit kick in the pants sometimes might be needed. But that's different from satanically induced guilt. May today's message and your reading of Psalm 119 be used by the Holy Spirit as an incentive, as a reminder, as an encouragement to spend time consuming the Word of God on a regular basis. I've gone through seasons of great discipline and seasons of lack of discipline concerning my own consumption of the Word of God. My prayer for myself and for each of us is that we'd be entering into a season of regularly consuming God's Word. And so I'm asking you to make that part of your prayer, but also part of your discussion. I'd love for you this fall to be talking to each other about what you've heard from God's Word this past week. What you read this week that just really seemed to become a word of the Holy Spirit that was alive and active and cutting revealing and helping you and bringing life to you. Make that part of our fall discussion of what we're hearing as we're reading God's Word. Different people will be reading different things, of course, but the same Holy Spirit will be guiding and directing, and so the idea is that the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us in stereo as He comes through your speaker and then your woofer and your tweeter, and it comes all around us as we hear the Word of God spoken to each other, then through each other. Well, let's look at a few of these verses. How does the Word of God change me? How does the Word of God change you? The Psalm 119 starts with these words, all these sentences beginning with the Hebrew word Aleph. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law, Torah, of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. Blessed. That word means that we receive something from God. When a person is blessed from being in contact with the Word of God, it means that God did something in their life. They're being changed by God. And the avenue and the way God is bringing about that blessing is through a dissemination of, a distribution of His truth, His Word. And so we want to be people who receive that from Him. Blessing can come. Came across this quote from A.W. Tozer. This is out of his book, Of God and Man. He wrote, "There is scarcely anything so dull and so meaningless as Bible doctrine taught for its own sake. Truth divorced from life is not truth in its biblical sense, but something else and something less." So we're not looking to become Bible scholars. We're looking to become people who are intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking to know what the Bible says. We're looking to be people who live it out. So we ask the Holy Spirit to take the words of God and bring blessing and bring life to us. The Word of God changes me. Look with me at verses 9 through 16. We're going to ask the question, how does God's Word change me? I believe God's Word can change my desires. God's word can change my desires. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts, and I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. He's talking about God changing his desires. He doesn't desire the sin as strongly as he used to. Now he desires God. He desires God's word. He desires God's truth. He desires intimacy with God. More than that, if you struggle with any one of the many sins that the devil tries to foist upon people, know the solution is, first of all, God. And the way God brings that solution is through his word. And as you spend time in his word, he increases your desire for him. You actually want him more than you want that other thing. So God changes your desire. This theme is hit again in verses 97 through 104. Verses 97 through 104. The paragraph for Mem. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. The word of God, sweet in your mouth. If the word of God has been dry, if it's tasted like crust, then I invite you to do two things. Pray. Say, God, change my desires. Change my desires so that I want your word. Make your word sweet. And then, secondly, consume the word and not the other stuff. I had a fun conversation last week with someone who was talking about not eating sugar for a while. And I've tried that for periods of time. And when you don't eat sugar for a while, your taste buds, your sense of taste changes. I remember one time I hadn't eaten sugar for about 3 weeks, and then I found my stash of chocolate. It's those little foil-wrapped squares of chocolate with a little bit of raspberry flavoring mixed in with them. So I popped one in, and it tasted horrible. It tasted awful, but I endured it. 5 pieces later, it was starting to grow on me again. No. But the same thing can happen with other things. Things that we eat all the time, we think we need them, and then the Word of God doesn't have any flavor to us. Well, get rid of those things, and suddenly your desire for the Word of God can grow. The person I was visiting with talked about how not eating sugary things for a while, then ate a carrot, and the carrot tasted so sweet. Think about the Word of God becoming the most flavorful thing of your week. The thing that your heart desires, that just is so desirous to you. The Word of God can change our desires. Satan plays on our desires. Satan tries to make other things seem like they're just irresistible. But the Word of God can change your desires. Let's become people who eat it. Secondly, notice with me that the Word of God can change our destiny. The Word of God can change our destiny. Look at the paragraph for Vav, verse 41. Verse 41. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law, forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands, because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. First of all, side note, as you read through this psalm, you're going to find 8 synonyms for the word of God. 8 different synonyms. And maybe you can make that a little challenge of yours as you read through it. You can circle each one or underline each one as you come across the synonyms for the word of God. But in this particular one, he's talking about how the word of God changes eternal destiny by bringing about salvation, which is freedom in Christ. Isn't it interesting? He's talking about the law, which we sometimes think about as being this restrictive, legal, binding thing. And here he's saying the law brings freedom because the law brings relationship. The law brings salvation. The law changes our eternal destiny. Do you realize you're an eternal being? You will never cease to be. God created you, and you will never end. Your earthly life might end, but that doesn't bring about the end of you. You are an eternal being made in the image of God. You will live for eternity. The question is your destiny to live that eternity in relationship with God or without relationship with God? In paradise with God or in the opposite of paradise, in a place we call hell? Some people have rejected God's law. Some people have rejected God's freedom. Some people have rejected God's salvation. Some people have never received the gift of an intimate connection to their Creator. And therefore, their destiny is to continue in that state of separation from Him. How horrible! God is offering through His law, through His word, through His Torah, through His precepts, through His statutes. He's offering Himself. And He's saying, change. Change your eternal destiny by having a connection with Me, by having salvation. The Word of God changes eternal destiny. May it change yours, and may your consumption of it cause the people around you to want the change that you've received, so they too are walking with an eternal destiny of relationship with Christ. Thirdly, I want you to notice how the Word of God changes our decisions. Look with me at verse 105, as we continue in Psalm 119. Psalm 105 is the paragraph for none. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow you. That I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. His decisions are being changed by God's word. He wants to decide to obey. He wants to decide to do right. He wants to decide to bring God glory in his thinking and his saying and in his doing. So a person's ability to decide is changed by the word of God. Some sins seem to be so strong in their pull. Some things are almost addictions. And a person seems to have lost the ability to decide for themselves. But the Word of God is a tool God uses by the power of His Spirit to change that inside a person, to bring the ability to you to say yes to God and no to the things of the devil. if you're struggling with something, then maybe the consumption of God's Word needs to increase. Maybe the dosage of God's Word needs to be increased so that you overwhelm that other aspect, those other things, so that God's Word becomes so strong in you that it's guiding your thinking moment by moment, so that you're following close behind Him and choosing to walk in that freedom. As you do this, you can be encouraged by the fact that God's Word changes me by changing my defense. Changes my defense. Psalm 119, starting at 153. 153. The paragraph with the Hebrew letter resh. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I am not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. The promise is for God being your defender. Your defense is changed. It's no longer you trying to defend yourself. It's God the one who preserves you, protects you, keeps you. He's the one that surrounds you. And as you consume His Word, live His Word, celebrate His Word, God uses that Word to become a strong shield about you. There's so many other things in this psalm. I encourage you to spend time reading it. But I want you to look with me at the very last paragraph. The paragraph for the Hebrew letter ta. And I want you to notice two things about it. First of all, it's a prayer. It's a request, most of it. It's a request. I want you to notice how it ends as well. It ends with an admission of stumbling, an admission of wandering off, an admission of now not following, but a promise as well. Verse 169. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. I appreciate the fact that the author was honest at the end. As you went through those many verses, you might have built a picture of a guy who had it all together, a guy who never faltered, a guy who was so disciplined and continued to regularly consume God's Word and strove diligently to obey it day after day after day. But here at the end, we find out that he too wandered. He too was a lost sheep for a while. But in his admittance of that, or admission of that, there was the rescue already coming. For as he admitted his need, he opened himself up to receive from his rescuer. He says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. And he prays, seek your servant, seek me, God. I am your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. He recognizes that God's word speaks of God being the rescuer. God's commands and God's promises and God's statutes and God's precepts and God's Torah are God's word that reveals that He is the one who rescues the wandering sheep, who uses His word to bring faith inside of a person's heart so the person can respond to the offer that God has of salvation. So I invite you, would you say yes again to God this morning? Would you ask Him to create within you a greater hunger for Him and His Word? Would you invite Him to help you with the disciplines of being a person in the Word on a regular basis? May we together ask God to change us. Change us by His Word, so we bring Him more and more glory, so we look more and more like Him, so that His Word flows through us, changing us and our community and our world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this psalm, because this psalm is Your Word. And we thank You that You are the Word. Lord Jesus, You are the Word of God. You spoke this psalm by Your Spirit into the heart of the psalmist who recorded it for us. And so that as we read it now, You speak it again into our hearts. You create it again inside of us. Lord, use it to transform us, to change us. Thank You, Lord, that You offer eternal life through Your Word. Many of us have received, have been changed, have had our eternal destiny changed by You. We thank You for that gift. And we pray that those who have not yet received that change of eternal destiny would today reach out a hand of faith to You and receive Your Word, receive Your truth, receive Your promise. And we thank You, Lord, that You are our defender. We're no longer having to defend ourselves. We're no longer having to worry about what man might do to us. We are trusting You as our defender. You are the one who protects us. Use Your Word to strengthen us, to make us stronger in our ability to grasp Your truth and wield the spiritual weapons You've given us and to rely upon Your defense. Lord, we confess that at times we too have strayed. At times we've been a lost sheep, a separated one, one who's lagged behind or turned aside. We confess that so that, Lord, You might cleanse us of that. We recognize our need for You. We invite You to change our desires so that we want You more than those other things. Change our desires, Lord, so that pleasing You and being connected to You and being close to You is the thing we most want in life. Lord, we don't want to become Bible scholars who just see it as a dry book. But we invite You to cause Your Word to be alive and active inside of us. And give us the ability this fall season to enter into a season of consuming You as we consume Your Word, of connecting with You, dialoguing with You. And as we do, Lord, may it bubble out of us to one another so that we're talking about You and Your Word with each other, so that we're reinforcing with each other the importance of regularly consuming Your Word. And Lord, we do all this not so that we look better or so that life just goes better. We do all this and we pray all this so that You'd be glorified, Lord, so that You'd be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's name.